Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Untangled Resolutions presentation of The Problem is the Answer, coming to you live from Ducati Park in Manhattan, in New York City. I'm Bob Tabby Levin Company, I'm your host, and I am actually not pre-taped for the introduction of the show today. This is absolutely live and this is brand new. We've never done this before. But the energy down here is just amazing. I've never seen it like this. I've been down here a number of times. And today is just absolutely glorious. The weather has cooperated so well. It's a beautiful day. And the park is packed. And in fact, it will be more packed in a little while when marchers come back from the twice daily march that folks take around Wall Street. But right now, I'm sitting in the park here, and I want to describe the scene to you. Like I said, it's packed. There are people in different parts of the park doing different things. There are music groups that are going. You can hear the drums in the background. We have a group further up the park from me who are meditating, and there are discussion groups. We have people walking around holding signs that display different messages about why they're here, and that's what we're going to do today is talk with folks about why they're here and what they hope to achieve. You know, a lot of criticism has come out from folks who haven't been here, actually. I don't believe they've been here. I don't think that they could say the things that they do if they hadn't been here. They say that the folks here are lazy, that they don't know why they're here, and that they're just here to cause a ruckus. Well, I wanted to have an opportunity for people who are actually here in the park to speak, to say why they're here, and to let us know what their purpose is here and what they hope to achieve. So that's what the show is about today. I don't have a break necessarily scheduled for it, but I think I'm going to take just a moment. There are a couple of people here that I've asked to come and speak to you. But while we set these up, I'm going to play P3s by one of my favorite groups, the Mighty Third Rail. The piece is called The Order of the Ten. Listen carefully because it does speak to what's going on in Ducati Park today. So stay with us. We're going to take a quick break while we set up our interviews, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Have a beautiful morning.
Scribble. Right to elevate, right to create, intent to be great. Brothers are pounding your heaven's gate. Brothers are late for a date and the girl is smoking. Right to intention when you mention his or her name and all things she did to you. Right for you to want to, right for you to have to. Right to truth, best facts in the face of what's up, facts in the place. Right to indict the plights of politicians who perpetuate poverty. Right to expose the government ties, united lies of America. Right to history never told in past. Right for these words to last. Right for the past, present, and future. Right to this poem finds inspiration and birth the metaphor of simmering sunsets, kissing voluptuous valleys, beginnings of a new day. Right to save the children, immerse in the ignorance of us. Right to teach them, right to preach them, right to hold raw the cringe minds of the old, revealing even with blasphemism. Right to right the wrongs of every sin you've ever committed. Reborn from masturbation and meditation. Right from revelation, right to the consolation, right to patience. Rise at your heart, breaking, and you hear the waking, and feel the soul, let's get pace, like the matrix, cause you are the one. The stars, the ocean, the moon, the sun, right for fun, right for the sun, right for thoughts on your lungs, and 50 tongues, computers, speaking, 50 symphonies, similarly, infinitely. Right for those that are listening to the heart, but those that won't. Right into this phase, ends, and steps, and get me back in again. Right, beating the shakes, and forward to attend, to get the pen, save the judgment for the end, just write as swiftly as the wind. Right, so people hear this, right, so you feel this, right, these risks get sore, right, so the crowd want more, to get the pattern, just do it for the love, because right for pleasure, right for pain, right forever, right for change. Right is specific, right to be prolific, right to learn, right to grow, right to yearn, right to glow. Second to the train of thought, right to flip, right to skip, right to believe, right out of need, right for health, right for wealth, right hard, right fast, right simple, right different, right to move, right to move, right to unite, right to the function of life, right to build on a height, right like you're boxing on fight night, right to shine your light, right now to run out of ink, you can't think of an else, right. Right, you're doing an eight, they say, you're crazy, your guts, rather than your fingers to snap, and your knuckles crack, cause the only reason you know to make sense is society is static, and that's why everything you go at is right, 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 right. Now put me down, give praise to the pen, and tomorrow we'll start again, and in your dreams you hear.
S-C-R-I-B-B-L-E. Scribble. That's correct.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. You were just listening to the Mighty Third Rail, and the piece was called Order of the Pen. And I'm back here live in Zuccotti Park, Occupy Wall Street, and I'm so excited to have a new friend here with me today. What is your name, please?
Dylan.
Dylan, I have Dylan here with me today.
From friends.
Dylan, I just kind of roped him into this. He spoke here. One of the things about the energy here that I love so much is that everybody's so willing to help out. When I arrived, I didn't know where to get access to Wi-Fi, and somebody set up the Wi-Fi for me really quickly. And now Dylan has agreed to come here on the radio. So, Dylan, tell me a little bit about what brings you here and how long you've been here.
Well, I've been in New York City for about 3 weeks now. Originally, my intention of coming here was to write a novel, which I'm doing about living homeless in New York City. I spent 2 weeks living in Highline Park until the park rangers busted me out of there. And then it was recommended I come in here to support the cause, and I did a little research. And one thing that especially spoke to me was the fact that there were numerous Wall Street executives and individuals and employees that had been killing themselves because they had gone bankrupt. And as an individual who has in the past suffered from depression, I don't know if the right word is resonate. I resonate with that, and I empathize and sympathize with that. And my goal is to be one more man strong. I'm from Canada, actually. And, basically, I'm going to be including everything in my book, and I'm going to do a little plug, if that's okay.
That's fine, so you're writing a book.
I am. It's called The Seductive Vagabond.
All right.
And my name is Dylan Spoolstra, and,
how do you spell your last name?
S-T-O-E-L-S-T-R-A. It means Weaver of Schools in Dutch.
So you're a Canadian with a Dutch last name here in New York City. You've been here for the past 3 weeks. Tell me about the 4 days that you've been here in Zuccotti Park. What has that been like for you?
The atmosphere is just, as a man that's currently living on the streets, they provided me with food and shelter and friends and love and free cigarettes and free water and juice. And it's just a beautiful atmosphere. We're all angry. But at the same time, we're all filled with love, and we're not expressing our anger through violence or motives that, you know what I mean? Like, we are angry, but we're not angry, and that's the main thing we're trying to illustrate here, through the power of music and the power of friendship and the power of love and the power of our words. And, yeah.
Well, one of the criticisms that I've heard of what's going on down here is that it's, you know, just a bunch of hippies that have come together, and, you know, you talk about love, and I think that we have a bit of cynicism sometimes, and folks misunderstand what it means when you're talking about we're here in the spirit of love, we're angry, but we're here in the spirit of love. Talk about the directions that folks have as they're here. Is there a sense of organization?
Realistically speaking, I personally haven't. You know what? This is beautifully run. It's beautifully organized. As a group of 1,000 plus, or whatever the number strong is, 20 to say on average 20 to 30-year-olds. Obviously, we're not going to be the most organized. Be that as it may, we are trying our damnedest to. And for the situation being, this is as good as it'll get it right now, and it is good.
All right. I'm going to let you know what's going on here. Like I said, I'm sitting here in the middle of the park, and so I'm sharing the table with Dylan, and then I have another new friend that I'd like to introduce you to, who piped in for a second, but I want to make sure that you know who he is.
Yeah, my name is Chris Marshall, originally from Indiana, and I just wanted to say, you know, I spoke to everything, and I think this is about as organized as it can be for the situation, because there's so many people that are coming in and out constantly, and they are making do with what they got, and to be honest, this is the healthiest I've ever ate. Since I've been to New York. Yeah. And I ran into a professor from Columbia University, and his words out of his mouth as I was walking by is, this is extremely organized. So I think they're doing a great job here. A wonderful job.
I have to say the same thing. You know, the thing that impressed me when I first came down was that there are separate stations. There's a first aid service here, and there's a comfort station where people need blankets and towels
member. I've done some hard stuff, and it's like, I don't consider myself a hippie. I'm sure there are a lot here, but at the same time, you know what? If God doesn't judge man till the end of his days, who are you to judge man now, you know? And that's pretty much, that's my, with regard to the peace and love, well, it was Eisenhower who said, like, I'm paraphrasing, but he saw the futility of war. Another one of our, not exactly the main concept of why we're here, but another important
4 years
thing.
In the Navy.
There you go.
Yeah,
so.
All right, so I have two friends from the military here who have seen the war, who understand firsthand what
I personally
is
haven't. I trained to go to Afghanistan, but it was cut short after they found out I was on 10 milligrams of antidepressants, which I could have easily gone off of. And which is a touchy subject.
But the thing is, me and him, we're both in the military, but we both don't have, we both can't find jobs. That's the real question here is, we serve our country, we get back, and we can't even find a job. You know, I'm completely qualified to do many things. Like, I was an aviation mechanic. By the time I got out of the military, the airline industry was bankrupt, and they were laying off thousands of workers. Couldn't get a job being a mechanic doing that. So I went to like a private, you know, a private bird, you know, place and ride a helicopter or something, but those are far and few between. And when you do find one, they, they've already got people doing that. Usually local people that they know, I'm sure, eventually I can find one, but coming right out, I can't find one.
So it sounds like both of you share in common a difficulty to finding work. Both were in the military, for different amounts of time, you got different things, but the thing that you share in common is that coming out of that, you have been able to find jobs. So both here in Manhattan, pretty far from home, and you come here to join in and expressing your
coverage has been sort of, oh, these are, kind of barbarous people, or it's
it's a chaotic, or these are unemployed people, and then so often unemployed people tend to, you know, youth who don't. I mean, there are so many sort of stereotypes being circulated in the media, and the assumption is that the men and women on Wall Street are somehow the apex of civilization. But I would actually like to say that people sitting around in small groups, feeding the people who are hungry, offering medical care to people who need medical care, that to me is human civilization. Talk about the ideas that are important to us, talking about the world we want to see, that's civilization. So I think that's the dial right now, and I think it's the highest we can go as human beings, and I hope we feel that and keep going with it.
I'm certainly a space that I receive from watching whenever I have watched it here. Is that this is what democracy actually looks like. And it is hilarious to use this for me in the sense I have a weird sense of humor. I think it's really kind of hilarious because it is so chaotic. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's organized chaos.
Yeah.
I know where to go for the medical station. I know where to go and I found the Wi-Fi station.
Right.
Thank you.
Resolutions presentation of The Problem is the Answer. I'm your host, Bob Tabulet and Company, and I'm coming to you live from the Zuccotti Park here in New York City. This is a bit of a different thing for me here. I'm not sure necessarily how well you can hear me or how the sound is. You can hear in the background that things are rather loud, and so I put in my earphones to try to be able to hear what's going on. And I know that I have a little bit of feedback, which is really interesting. I'm hoping that you're not getting feedback on your end, but we're going to see what happens with the podcast. So this is an experiment, the first time, and I'm hoping it's not the last time. I'd like to actually come back. Tell you a bit about Untangled Resolutions before we go back and talk with our next guest here on the show. Untangled Resolutions is a private practice in mediation, couples and divorce mediation, and then also I'm teaching a class on negotiation here in New York City. So if you are in New York City, I invite you to check out the class. I'll be teaching at New Work City, which is located at 412 Broadway near Canal Street here in New York. And if you'd like more information about that, contact me on my website, www.123untangled.com. That's 123untangled.com, or give me a call, 917-371-6560. That's 917-371-6560. If you're interested in taking negotiation classes, they start on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, the 11th of October, 7 o'clock in the evening at New York City. That's at 412 Broadway near Canal Street. We're going to be learning the secrets of negotiation. We're going to learn people, we're going to learn preparation, and we're going to learn process so that you can become a better negotiator. All right, thank you for listening to the show, and I have a new guest with me right now. And your name is?
My name's Sheila.
Sheila?
Yes.
Thank you, Sheila, for being here. I'm so glad that you have been gracious enough to grant me a little bit of your time. I'm going to ask for you to come and turn and sit here next to me if you can. I know it's really close quarters here, but we want to make sure that you get here first. Sheila, how long have you been here in the cutting firm?
I've been here for the past 3 days. Thursday night I had class, so I was here in the daytime and went to class, and I came back out. And I was here on yesterday night, and I was here today.
So you then haven't been camping out in the park?
I have not spent the night in the park. I have not had that luxury yet.
Right, but you are here anyway, and you said that you have classes, so it sounds like you are in school.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but you're here.
Yes.
And what made you decide to come here?
I came here because I have been unhappy with a lot of things that have been going on in the country, the government, hearing the numbers, statistics, poverty, we're at 42% level, and or people are at their poverty level, 1 in 4 corporations aren't paying taxes, and I mean, I'm a working class citizen. I work, I have 2 children, and I care about social issues, things that matter. I think for everyone, I think education has always been a forum or a platform for people who want to make their way maybe through the middle class. And at this time, you know, the American dream just seems like a mere myth, that it doesn't exist. I see all these young faces, these people in so many different places, and all these kids that are students who are very bright and articulate. Kids are graduates and they're fresh out of school and they can't find a job. And it breaks my heart because I think of my 2 children that I'm raising at this time. I have a sophomore, and I mean, we're looking at colleges in a couple of years, and I'm concerned about, you know, where to go. You know, the way the country's going is scary, especially with the public school sector, I'd say. Public school used to be one of the best education systems. Until they started defunding it. And what it is, you know, public school is publicly funded. It's by us, but the money, the dollars are allocated. They're doing whatever they want with the dollars, and they're not putting them into the schools. And they're laying off teachers. And no wonder why, you know, they're saying public schools are doing bad. That would be the reason. So I'd say my issue would be education, jobs. I mean, children are our future. I have children. A lot of people have children. And I mean, I just think I don't like the direction the country's going in. It's scary, actually. And I just think that, you know, Tunisia, the rise of the started out in Africa and Egypt and everything, you know, that is a sign that there's something going on. People are tired. People are fed up. And we don't know what it takes, what it's going to take. I know there's been a lot of talk in the news that, oh, it's chaotic here, it's unorganized, but you have to start somewhere. You know, it's one thing to just complain about it, but it's another to do something about it. We're out. And I think that's being enough. We may not be organized, but we have common issues. We have a common ground. People are not doing well. People are starving. You know, people are sick. We need a free. Well, why can't we have a free healthcare system, a universal system? I mean, I think we can thrive so much better in society. You know, if people just had more compassion, people just cared about their fellow brother, their fellow sister. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We all have common goals and things that we want. I mean, people are devastated. People don't have their homes. And I think it's sad. They're not trying to put anyone back in their homes. There's no help for us. We're just like the forgotten. And we're here to tell people, no, we're not forgotten. We do have a voice. We are exercising our First Amendment rights. We have a right to be here. And, I mean, we're trying to get our bark out. It's getting louder. I believe it started out with, like, 14 people initially. And, I mean, we have thousands now.
But you talk about having thousands here. It's absolutely true. The park is as full as I've ever seen it. And it seems the momentum is only growing. Tell me what your first impression was when you arrived here on Thursday night.
I was excited. I was very excited. And I just seen all these fun, vibrant people. I was looking at the signs that they had posted, a lot of them funny, but all true. The people are beautiful. I think the fact that they're feeding people out here, the fact that we have pre-med students here, people are looking out. If people don't have a doctor, they can see someone. There's several organizations out here, you know, reaching out to people, trying to get people involved. I think it's wonderful. I was extremely excited to just see the range of people from the ages of like 18 to say 70 years old out here doing this. I'm a union member, and you know, I'm trying to rally up some of my coworkers and get them to let them know, you know, the very rights that we're privy to. People fought and died for unionizing, and here you got all these states, they're trying to take collective bargaining rights, the very things that people fought for. It's like they're trying to take us backwards, and it all has to do with greed. They continue to say that we need to pay more money into things, but we're not the one that caused this downfall at all. The people who did got bailed out. What about us? What about us?
There's a recognition then that what we've taken as our rights, and in fact some of the things granted, were facets of being part of the fabric of this country that weren't always there.
Yes.
Somebody had to fight for them,
yes.
And it appears that from
yes.
your perspective, you have to fight for them to keep them.
Again, we have to take it to the streets. It's one thing to say something about it, but it's another thing to actually do something about it. And I think that's what everyone is doing here. You've seen similar demonstrations going on in several cities, according to what I've heard. And I think it's a wonderful thing. It's beautiful. But, I mean, people see the injustice. There's only so long you can continue to have people living in this bubble and distract people before they get that awakening, they get that consciousness. And it makes you angry. It does. It's hurtful, but it makes you angry. And it's like, you know what? This is what we're doing with it. We're telling someone about it. And, you know, laying out a blueprint, I think, is very important, in which I'm being told that that was done. The critics are saying that, you know, being on, putting out a clear idea of what we actually want done, what we don't like. And I'm sure there's not truth that we're getting a lot of bad slack, but for the most part, I'm told that we do have a blueprint. So I will be actually taking that blueprint, making pronouns of it, and giving this, passing out, spreading the word out, so people actually know what's going on here at Wall Street. I think it's important.
Did you ever see yourself as an activist before this?
No, not at all. But once I got extremely passionate, like the majority of these kids, with maybe the election of Barack Obama, I was interested in politics prior to this. But I think just as he inspired a nation, he inspired me. And, you know, I love his ideas. I love the vision that, you know, it seems that he has for your country. But, you know, now with, you know, a lot of things that have taken place, you know, I'm not sure where the country's going. And, you know, we want to trust these elected officials who put them in office. And we hope that they get in office and they actually, you know, do the things that they set up. But unfortunately, you know, things aren't that way. And the one thing I think that was part of the union, one thing Obama said when he was campaigning and was out on the stump, is that he's going to fight for us. He won't let them take our rights or anything. And then you have organizations like Wisconsin, where you had Governor Scott Walker, who was just going blindly to whoever it is wanted to do when he got into office. You know, he never ran on that ticket of saying he's going to state, you know, or interfere with that. But Obama did, and the fact that he didn't say anything, he speak up about this.
But I wanted to ask you about that. I wanted to ask you if there's something that you thought that you want to have any. But not that you want the president to say anything specifically, but it sounds as though he doesn't really have said anything.
Yes, because it seems that he's not acknowledging it. I'm sure he has to know about it, but it's just that I think the mere fact that he's not acknowledging it, it hasn't been mentioned, it has, you know, it hasn't been something that's been on the table for discussion. You know, I know the president has flooded this issue everywhere we turn around. There's so many issues, but we're also his base. We're also part of his base that put him in office. We've also endorsed his campaign. I've also personally endorsed his campaign and bought Billionaire T-shirts. I had an Obama party at home to get out the word and try to get some more information about who he was and what he wanted to do, and I was excited by it. And now, you know, here it is, you know, there's another election year, and we don't know where the country's going. The unemployment is still extremely high. One thing I found very interesting, I was watching a documentary with about Franklin D. Roosevelt, and this was right after, like, the Great Depression. What Franklin D. Roosevelt said was that it was our job, it was the government's job, and if private sectors weren't putting people back to work, which they're not, it was the government's job to open up and create jobs and put people back to work. And with that said, we put 11 million people back to work by building the infrastructure, creating jobs. Investing in here, in this country, and not outsourcing and giving jobs to all these other countries. For cheaper labor.
So I guess the question is, what's going on now?
What's going to happen? What are we going to do about this unemployment? You know, I do agree with Obama with taxes already. I do think, I mean, that they should give a bigger portion. There's so many tax breaks. There's so many ways around paying taxes for them. You know, the difference is that the money they make are on investors, you know, stocks and bonds. It's our earned dollars. You know, these two things are our earned dollars. We barely exist. You know, everything is paycheck to paycheck. The cost of living in New York City, in which I am a resident, is extremely high. And it's not affordable.
So you're voicing a very common concern, and of course, if it weren't such a common concern, we wouldn't have the movement that we have today. Let's come back to the Zuccotti Park for a moment. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, you know, I've heard that folks plan to be here for the duration until substantive change happens, whatever that looks like. Winter's coming.
I know. One of the things I spoke about with my fiance, you know, I said I'm going to pray, and, you know, I'm going to be with those kids. You know, I'll be out here as much as I can. You know, that is my fear. You know, it is going to get cold. The winter is coming. It's freezing. And, you know, I don't know what that's going to mean. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know what, you know, people are going to be able to endure. But, you know, I don't know. I really don't. Well, I can hope with that, you know, for the best. Hope we make it through. Hope we have a night of, they say, a new future, you know. I really don't know. Well, I know from experience, I've been in New York City my whole life. It does get very cold in the winter. So, I mean, my heart's going to be out to them.
All right.
I don't know.
But, you know, thank you so very much for taking time out and talking with us. What you brought to the program today and what you're bringing to the conversation is so very important. You know, here you are, you're a mom, you're a student, you're a person who has a home, who lives here in New York City, struggling like the rest of us, but here you are at the Zuccotti Park, it's your But thank you so much, Bob. We're going to
thank you.
We'll be back in just a moment. I have another interview coming up for you. I'm going to play another piece here, very quickly. It's called Race Face, and this is Brandon Ross. It's from his album Costume. And we'll be back with you in just a moment. Everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Batabulum Company, and you're listening to Untangled Resolutions presentation of The Problem is the Answer. We're coming to you today live from Zuccotti Park, or Liberty Park to some people, here in New York City. We are on the edge of Broadway near Wall Street, and the atmosphere is just absolutely astounding. It's so full of energy. I've never seen the park so full. It's about my third time coming down here. And it's a gorgeous day out here. The sun has been shining. It's warm. I'm in a T-shirt in the middle. Well, yes, it's the second week of October here in New York. So this is a wonderful thing. And I'm here with a number of people who have agreed to come on the show and be interviewed. So I'm hoping that you're able to hear me and that the sound is okay. We're going to go on with the show. And I have someone else here. I'm going to unplug my headset for a second and so that we can hear her as well.
All right. So I'm so glad to introduce you to my new friend here. What is your name, please?
Andrea.
This is Andrea. And Andrea, I asked you to come on here because I noticed that you are lying on an air mattress. So it tells me that you've been sleeping here in the park. Tell me about that.
Well, 1 second.
Okay. And I have someone else here. I'll just put my headset for a second and so that we can hear her talk.
Hey, what was the question again?
All right, so I asked you to come here and be interviewed on the show because I noticed that you are sleeping here on an air mattress, and so I figured that you've been sleeping here in the park.
Yeah.
And I'd like to talk a little bit about that. What inspired you to come and sleep here in the park?
I got fired from my job because I suffer from depression. And so they said that they couldn't keep people who was mentally unstable, even though I've been on medication for the last 12 years. So they just said, we won't have you here. You don't give our company, you don't live up the company policies. Even though I never, ever, not even once was late for my job, they hired another one, another person, younger, of course. Yeah, basically, I don't have a house, I don't have a car. The bank took my car because I owe money, supposedly, which is not true because if there is a person in this world that knows how to manage his money or their money, it's me. But the bank said I owe late fees. So they just took my money, they took my paycheck. Basically, I'm a homeless right now.
Wow. Yeah. I expect that's something that you never expected to happen to. Right?
Never, no. I have my house, I pay my bills, I go to church, I help my mother whenever she needed. If my sister needed money, I would borrow to her, she would pay me back. I mean, if one thing I imagined in this world was never to be in this situation. And it's sad, and I'm trying to see like the bright side, but as soon as I can, I'm going to just get out of here, get my check together, and go back to work. I mean, it doesn't have to be the career I chose, but you know, get a job, get interviews. So if someone needs a massage therapist, I'm a licensed in the state of Virginia. So my name is Andrea, you can find me here.
You know, it's amazing. I actually have a thought that there could be a job board or something like that that could be set up here that could be useful to help people find jobs. But in the meanwhile, then, you know, you said you're finding yourself in a place that you never expected to be in, homeless, and that you're sleeping here in the park. What has it been like spending the entire night here?
It's unbelievably sad. I'm not disappointed, but not fun. I mean, there is nothing compared to mom. Like,
having your own mom.
Yeah, your own the mom or dad or grandpa.
Right, your family.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not something that you would choose to do.
No.
So you came out here to have fun.
No. I wish. But no, it's not that way. No.
So how has it been adjusting to the practicalities of living outside?
It's difficult because I'm a very, not shy, but, you know, like conservative person. I don't like to talk much. I'm more like into the quiet side. I mean, when you know me, okay, I talk, but like on a daily basis, I'm very quiet.
But here in the park, is surrounded by people all the time.
Yeah, so it's difficult for me.
Right. And I don't see how you can have privacy.
Exactly, like the bathroom, showering is difficult because you gotta go somewhere and you gotta bash with someone you don't know. The bathroom is difficult. Restaurants here, a family, and they have a bed, and they have a bathroom. And they just come here because they think it's fun. I don't fight with those people, but I get very annoyed. Because I wish I had a house in New York. I'm from Washington, D.C. So I get annoyed because I say, what are you talking about? Like, you have a house, you have a mother, and you are here. Come on, like, this thing, like, I don't know.
And then what about the people who are actually marching?
Yeah, they're good people. Yeah, they those are people that they're not staying here. They're smart. So they just love them, but they go home, they shower, come back, brush their teeth. They're smart. But me, I can't be smart because I don't have the money. When I have the money, I'll be smart.
Wow. You know, you tell quite a story. So your life is like that, so it's a lot of problems here. And so then you make decisions to come out here.
Yes.
Sort of the stopping place.
Colleges, and she's concerned that there's going to be a future for her child. So there's going to be a future
for her child to be able to get that education, do all the things that she's supposed to do, and be able to find work and earn a living and start a family of her own. She doesn't see that as really being in the cards in the future for her child, and so she's here as well, although she has a home to go to and goes home at night. So we've seen that. That's a common theme of, you know, five random people actually, that I pulled out of the crowd. All of them have professions. All of them are educated. There's even a library here in Zuccotti Park. This is a highly educated and intelligent group of people that we see here occupying the park and occupying Wall Street. And while there hasn't been a necessarily coherent list of demands, if you will, from what I'm hearing from folks here, that's not what it's about. They are saying that it's a complicated problem. Everybody comes here for different reasons, and they all respect that. And time will come, you know, and over time, I suppose a more coherent message will arise, is what I'm hearing. But they're here doing it. Democracy is not easy, I'm hearing from them, but they're here. They're dedicated, they want to be involved, and they're willing to stay the duration. And I thank you for staying the duration. Thank you for listening to the show. I do plan to come back here and do some more reporting, if you will, host the show again from Zuccotti Park and give more people a chance to tell their stories, because ultimately that's what it is about. It's all about humanity. It's about the stories that we tell. It's about the stories of our lives, and they aren't just stories. Actually, this is our reality. These are our lives. And if we are to build a better future, build a better today as well as a better tomorrow, then we actually have to get up and leave our homes and come out here and do something. So I encourage everyone to really think about ways in which you can become involved in positively impacting your communities, positively impacting our nation, and, you know, bring things back to a place where people can earn a living wage and are not finding themselves having a profession and being licensed to do something to earn a living and yet still finding themselves sleeping out on the street. So I hope that you've enjoyed the show. I welcome you to listen again next week. We're going to be coming back to you with a brand new topic, but I plan to come back to Zuccotti Park and follow up to see how things are going. Have a wonderful week, everyone. I'm going to leave you with a piece that I have played here before, but I think that it is apropos of the situation, and the piece is called Human Nature, and it's Vijay Iyer who is performing the piece. As I said, have a good week, and we'll talk to you again next week. So bye for now.